This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Fellas, I'm ready to get up and do my thing.
Go ahead.
I want to get into it, man, you know. Like a sex machine, man.
Yeah.
Moving, doing it, you know.
Yeah.
Can I count it off?
Go ahead.
One, two, three, four. Get up.
Get on up.
Get up,
get on up,
stay on the scene,
get on up,
like a sex machine,
get on up,
get up,
get on up,
get up,
get on up,
stay on the scene,
get on up,
like a sex machine,
get on up.
Sparks Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
Yep,
it's Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning, the 13th day of November. We say to you, God morning, Georgia.
Morning.
And a good morning to you folks in Hayville.
Wonderful Hayville.
Wonderful Hayville.
Right at the end of the runway.
I was waiting.
Well, it depends
that.
On which runway you're going, the east, whichever one. But it's at the end of one of them runways.
Yeah.
And the home of the Dwarf House.
You keep saying that, and the first time you said it.
When you ride by that, that's the sign that's on the door.
All right. Now, for folks who don't know what Sam's talking about, because I didn't know it, and I've been living here a long time.
Have you been there yet?
I have not.
Why not? What you waiting on?
I ain't waiting on nothing. I just ain't, you know.
They remodeled it, and it's all fresh and brand new and everything.
I'm sure it's beautiful. I'm glad you brought that up, because I was thinking of you just tonight. Well, I think about you all the time, Mr. Crenshaw. But I was really
Well,
because you're my partner on the radio, so yeah, I'm always thinking, you know. But I was really thinking of you as I was taking a journey the other night. We were going out to dinner and passed by a location, and I thought of you as I saw this empty space with a fence around it.
Whoa.
And that was the original Krispy Kreme over there. We were on Ponce.
Hey, on Ponce, man. They ain't putting that thing back together yet.
Well, see, Shaq made us believe that he was going to rebuild that and it was going to be something special.
Well, he still may. He just ain't done it yet.
Well, what's he, as you just said, what's he waiting on?
Yeah, he got a lot of stuff happening, I guess, man. But, yeah, we waiting on that because we don't have the sign on.
I mean, nothing.
I think of you.
I got my mouth all ready for some of them. And it ain't happening.
It wasn't happening. But
it's
no,
in
man.
It's part of the Historical Society, not officially, but it should be, right?
It's one of those places as a landmark, and I'm sure he's going to bring it back, and it's going to have something. You know, like a lot, so many places now that have historic, you know, background, you're going to get a taste of what was with something that's just going to be incredible. You know,
I just came up with something,
yep.
a list that we can do right now.
Yep.
At 92.9 The Game. You guys hit us up at 92.9 The Game or give Eric a call, 404-741-0929. Let's start the list of what we feel are the unofficial Atlanta landmarks.
Okay? Unofficial. Some are very official.
Well, no, we don't want the official ones. Ones that aren't official that should be. And you just mentioned one. We just talked about one. Krispy Kreme on Ponce. All right.
One is we found out this week is going away.
What's that?
A movie theater.
Which one?
On Cheshire Bridge. The Tower.
Oh, yeah. That's right. In fact, Tracy was mentioning that. Yeah.
The Tower is going away. Now, okay. It's been around longer, and it's always catered to a certain type of movie.
Production.
Yeah. Some of the ones I've been to see that were unique.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's
going away.
Okay. Here's the start of my list.
Yeah.
We got Krispy Kreme on Ponce.
Yeah,
which ain't there yet. Tara's going away.
Well, I tell you, the movie theater on Ponce Hall, the Plaza. That movie theater right there, the Plaza.
Right,
That's kind of a landmark.
That's one of them. Okay, hang on.
Yeah.
Plaza there. I got the Claremont Lounge.
You do that.
Right? That's hey, that's you.
Is what's her noodle still at? Was her
I don't think so. And if she
really,
is,
she's not.
She might be, but that's a show I don't want to see now after all these years.
You didn't want to see it when you saw it the first time. Like, what's she doing up there?
We got that.
Yeah.
We got the big chicken.
Big
chicken.
I showed my cousins that. My cousin came down from Ohio, and I showed him that. He thought that was the most amazing thing.
Yeah, big chicken.
Yeah.
I know there's some ones we're missing.
There's some other, but we're just getting started.
Yeah, we're just getting started. So y'all help us out.
Help us out.
With unofficial Atlanta landmarks that should be part of the Historic Society. So you can't be there just a minute. Like the Battery, that don't count.
No,
it's only been here a minute.
No.
That's been here a minute.
That's all new.
But what's over there by Turner Field? There got to be something over there by Turner Field. Like that. They used that Kentucky Fried Chicken still there that used to be across the street.
No, man. That's long gone.
Oh, that's right. All the apartments over there, right?
Oh, man. All the apartments over there. No, and you know what? We tread lightly on that area of town because I spent most of my day there yesterday and have two defeats to show for it with Georgia State in football yesterday and then basketball. Although it was an exciting finish last night with Georgia Tech beating Georgia State 59-57 in the new Convocation Center. Nice crowd out there to check out the place. It's going to be a fun place to go watch games, and I hope people who haven't had a chance to see it will come and check out a basketball game. They got Mercer there Tuesday night.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Again, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com on this 13th day of November. And then this is a point we're going to drive you crazy with, but we're going to let you know, just like a TV show getting ready to come back, December 17th. And now it's even more special, but Sam and I are returning to Saturdays. We're going to have the Sunday, obviously, but we will be back on Saturdays. You'll get us both mornings. And as I understand it right now, we're going to be starting at 8 a.m.
Okay.
That's fine. Going to have us for a few hours on Saturdays. But that particular day is special because Mr. Crenshaw reminded me this morning.
Yep. That is the day of the Celebration Bowl. And now we know who at least one of those teams will be.
And I'm on the edge of my chair.
We ain't going to tell you right now.
We're gonna
tell you. But now we know who at least one of those teams will be for the Celebration Bowl. And, of course, we have our friend of the show, John Grant, will join us. You know, leading up to the game. So we know at least one.
Yeah.
And it may not be the one that people think.
Well, I don't
know. Everybody think that, you know, but they still got to earn their way here. But another team has already earned their way to the Celebration Bowl.
Okay.
That is official.
That is an official tease, too. Yeah. So we'll be talking about that.
Just like we also know who's earned their way to the SEC Championship game. That's coming up next segment. But
we know both of those.
Yeah, we know that.
And
now.
I'm mad about that too, by the way, because I'm gonna have something to say about. Listen, we knew Georgia because it shouldn't have been LSU, and there's a reason for it.
We get to that next segment.
I know. I'm saying so. I'm teasing about how I'm sure I'm not the only one that's gonna have a problem with that.
Wow.
And I'm sure if we had your correspondent from the Friday night high school football show, Stevie G, he'd have a problem with it too. Because he is an alum, if I'm not mistaken, of Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he got a problem today, too. And Maria Martin, our correspondent, she's from Ole Miss, too.
She actually went to the game yesterday.
Yeah, well, she got a problem, too.
She actually went to the game. As a fan. She said, I think it was the first time since she graduated that she went to an Ole Miss game without, you know, actually being a working person. She just went to enjoy herself.
All right. Well, I'm sure that makes it even worse.
Well, I'm sure they had a wonderful time at the Grove.
Well, we'll see. Hopefully, we'll get a chance to talk to them.
Get to talk about that. The Grove was more fun than what was happening inside the stadium. Put it like that.
I had it. You mentioned you spent a little bit of time
mm-hmm.
at, you know, down there by Georgia State in that area, Pete's Place, and just that whole area that used to be the Ted and the parking lot down.
Yeah.
By the way, there's another one.
Ooh.
That fence from Turner Field that's still sitting there in the parking lot. That is part of it. That's an Atlanta landmark.
That's not the fence from Turner Field. That's the fence from Fulton County.
I mean Fulton County. Excuse me. Yeah.
Stadium. That's still
so that
still
fence,
remains.
Yeah, that fence.
A lot of people don't know that. But,
well, they
but
should.
I mean, it's there. But a lot of people don't know that. That's still a part of it. That's still there.
I didn't know the draft house.
You know, the draft house and the dwarf house.
Dwarf house. See, I can't even say it right. How is it? What's that old thing about there's three words in the English language that start with DW?
Okay.
Dwarf is one. Dwindle is the other.
Okay.
And I can't remember the
third. I have no idea.
Yeah, there's one and people are screaming it at the radio.
They are. Well, we got a full day of NFL football.
Yeah,
when I say a full day, I mean potentially you're going to hear four games on it today, and none of them will be the Falcons because they played played Thursday night in the rain and the slop up in Charlotte.
And we have one that starts in just a little bit, Mr. Crenshaw.
Yeah, I know.
Over there in Germany.
Yeah.
Mr. What's-His-Face is going to try and get his groove back, Brady.
Yeah.
And we'll see how that works out. But we'll talk about that as we talk NFL. Terrell Thomas is going to join us in the 7 o'clock hour.
Ouch, Hawks fell last night. Philly beat them 121-109 after the Hawks beat them Thursday. And mm-hmm. so, it's on to Milwaukee. Seemed like we're seeing a lot of Milwaukee. Seemed like some seasons it takes you a while to get to a game with those guys. And maybe because we went to the other side of the world and played them two games before the season started. But we see an awful lot of Milwaukee. We're going to see them again tomorrow night at their place. And then the Celtics will be here Wednesday. That's what's coming up immediately with the Hawks.
And you know what's amazing? Speaking of the NBA, there's a game going on today that used to be one of those mark on the calendar games. And a year, 2 years ago, it would have been must see. Now, even on a Sunday when you got NFL action going on. But you talk about people not caring one way or the other about this thing, meaning that the Nets and the Lakers. And between LeBron being out and Kyrie being told to stay home and just the way this team has been playing it, you know, it's just amazing how fortunes have changed in just a short period of time.
Jacque Vaughn got a full-time gig.
Yes, he did.
They named him the coach, not the interim. The interim has been removed.
Yes, 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 and congratulations to him. But, man, would you want that?
That's the question.
He's playing for another job, you know what I'm saying? He's playing for another job. By the way, speaking of, again, we'll get into this next segment with we talk college football. But tip of the cap to Notre Dame. Expectations going into this season was what it was, and they didn't meet it, and everybody started throwing water on the coach, and he's not the right guy for the team. And, man, have they turned things around.
Yeah.
They have turned things around. So I just want to make a quick mention about that. Now, changing gears for a second, two things we want to mention.
Yeah.
One is that we did this last week. We did it on the heels of Veterans Day, which was Friday, of course. And something you regular listeners to the show know about this little piece of audio. And it's my father, who is now he's a 9-iron away from 100. He's down there in Sarasota, 98, but at 85 years old, he told the story of his journey to Normandy to be a part of the D-Day invasion. And it was part of a bigger package that was put together featuring soldiers of color and their experiences in the various wars that this country's been a part of. Obviously not the Civil War, but they went out and they found a handful of people that were still alive from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and put them in part of peace. They went all the way up to, I think, the Desert Storm and got soldiers. Anyway, I like to play this as not only a tribute to him, but it's just a firsthand remembrance of going to that. And by the way, we're doing a bigger package. Me and a few other people are trying to put together a bigger package to use as a teaching tool. But anyway, we played it last week. We're going to play it again this week. So we'll do that at the top of the 7 o'clock hour. It's a very short piece, but again, as we continue to celebrate Veterans Day, we're going to play that again. And we lost somebody this past week. Well, a few big names, but we lost somebody. Eric, can you bring that just a little bit? And I'll make this quick. We lost a colleague this past week, but Mr. Crenshaw lost a friend. And we are going to talk about Fred Hickman before the end of this hour. So that is what's coming up. We're going to talk mostly sports, but I want to mention that we got that coming up if you're wondering what we're going to be doing. And, of course, there are a host of other things that we would like you to participate in, ending this on a note again, let us know what those Atlanta landmarks are that aren't officially in the books. We are just getting started on a Sunday morning. Thank you, Eric. It is Sam and Greg with, as you've just heard, Eric Slaughter, our producer, on the other side of the glass, getting started on this morning. Thank you for making us a part of your Sunday. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and take us with you on the Odyssey app.
Here comes Ladd McConkie.
He's got
Ladd McConkie. He may go. Ladd McConkie. Touchdown, Georgia.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It's Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning. That, of course, the call from yesterday's Georgia game. McConkie taking it 70 yards. Thanks to ESPN for that sound, too. But Bulldogs who looked pedestrian in the first half. I'll be honest with you, put up 17 points. They kept Mississippi State, was right there. Man, I don't know if you, obviously you didn't hear because you've been busy, but going into halftime as he was leaving the field, the reporter came up on Mike Leach. First of all, he sounded like Mike. Well, Mike Leach, he's a great listen, and what comes out, the way he delivers whatever he's trying to say, it always reminds me of somebody who's trying to figure out how to get home at 4 a.m. on New Year's Eve. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Okay. That's all I'm saying. Sounds like that. You can understand him if you listen closely. But anyway, he had something to say about the officials, and it was an interesting back and forth. The reporter, she came up to him to ask him a question. So what did you think about this? And the first thing out of his mouth was, what did you think? You saw the game. That was beautiful. That was like typical Mike Leach. But anyway, Georgia gets it done.
Yeah, 45-19, the final score. And, you're right. There was some good. There was some not so good. Stetson Bennett throws for 3 touchdowns. We also threw a couple of interceptions. Mm-hmm. Just some things to be concerned about. This is the last 2 conference games. I mean, this one and then Kentucky's coming up, and Kentucky's got their own story to tell from yesterday after losing to Vanderbilt. The Kentucky team that everybody thought was going to be the team that was going to, give Georgia the most problems, and it seemed like not so much now as we're on our way to Atlanta. But on our way to Atlanta for the conference championship game. Mm-hmm. But Georgia gets what they need. The running game gets them 179 yards. They throw for 289. And the defense in the second half just, turns up the heat. And, the end result is what you get.
On the heels of the country music awards or whatever it was that show this past week with Peyton Manning emceeing, you just spouted off a Darius Rucker song.
Really?
Story to Tell.
Story to Tell.
Yeah, I think that's one of his songs. It's one of the 3 country songs I can come up with. But, this was one of those days in college football that was kind of a push because the boys who at the top did what they were supposed to do. You can talk about how the sausage was made, and they should have, it's never big enough for their fan base, right? But there was some style points that had to happen. Ohio State, after that debacle last week at Northwestern up there in Evanston, where the win was coming in, and what did you say? You saw one of the field goal attempts in practice.
In practice, and it just blew the thing right back.
It went from Cook to DuPage County up there.
That was it.
But this week they came back and got it done and reminded folks who Ohio State is. Same with Michigan. They had a little, they just didn't get off out of the blocks quick.
Who you're not talking about? We're not talking about TCU.
Well, I was about to get there. And right. TCU,
okay.
Listen, they didn't. They're happy to be where they are. They kind of remind me of Cincinnati last year.
Yeah.
Because they always, with any kind of hiccup they have coming up, they feel like, okay, they're done. So long as they continue to win, look at Tennessee can make all the points, put up all the points they want over Missouri. They're not jumping over TCU at number 4. Tennessee won yesterday, beat Missouri 6-6-24. So TCU, it's a 7-point win, but they beat Texas in Texas. So that says something, right?
Yeah, it does.
So they're going to stay right where they are. Tennessee's going to hang around at 5. And
they beat Texas in Austin.
What'd I say?
In Texas.
Well, that's Austin, last time I checked, they're still
in
Texas.
TCU's in Texas, too.
Okay, point taken. Yeah, you're right. Hey, it's been a week since I've done radio, all right?
I know.
I still got stars in my eyes from this past week.
Yeah.
I've had some stuff happen, and we're going to pace ourselves, try to get to it. But anyway, this is me doing a much deeper dive into college football than I normally do.
Yeah.
And I got some angst.
Yeah.
I got some angst, Sam.
Angst?
Yes,
angst?
I do.
Uh-oh.
Yes, I do.
Oh, my.
With a guy who I was truly hoping to continue the success he had throughout this year and his team. And brought up Stevie G earlier, brought up Maria Martin, both proud alums of Ole Miss. I have no interest in what this program does other than Lane Kiffin, who's there, who's you just never know what's going to come out of his mouth or what he's going to do.
He's been so tame this season.
He really has.
He's been pretty tame this season.
Look where he's at, though. Because, see, you can pop off when you're down there in was it Florida Atlantic or wherever he was. And even when he's Tennessee, he learned to keep his mouth shut when he's back in the SEC. That's all I'm saying. That's the way I look at it.
Okay.
But he was quietly taking it to, what were we talking about earlier this season? Alabama this and Georgia that and all the other. But, hey, don't sleep on Ole Miss because they were undefeated, right, for a while?
Yep.
And then they had a chance to make their way to Atlanta. by beating Alabama. And I'm going to tell you what, Sam, I know you were busy, but this last drive of the game, they got the ball after Alabama kicked the field goal, made it 30-24, so they knew they had the score. And they brought that ball down the field like vintage Tom Brady. It was just this, dink here, dink there. And then they had a big play. And they got it down to the red zone, and it was as if Lane Kiffin forgot how to coach. Had a couple stupid quarterback, you know, runs, and there was no – they gave the game away. And I was frustrated because I don't really – you know, I invested time going, come on, Lane, you make a more interesting game if you get to the SEC championship and you're there. We know Georgia's going to be there. At least we assume the game was still going on. But, man, he just let that one go. And I'm like, all right, I'm done with you. You remind me of that guy, you know, like we used to say about Randy Johnson when he first started, when he came into the league, he showed signs of a Cy Young pitcher with his velocity and the way he was striking people out. And then every once in a while, he reminds you of somebody who just like, you know, John Kruk with the helmet on backwards or killing birds with his pitch. He was just off the rails. And Lane Kiffin has always, it seems like he comes a buck and a half short from getting to the promised land in these big games and national championship opportunities. But he's got the it. You can see he knows how to coach. He's one of the top-tier coaches in this country, but some silly stuff happens always with him. That's just my seat, and that's what I see. And it just bothered me yesterday. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying.
I got to stop because I'm –
Yeah, you just going
– I'm sorry.
But the deal is that the matchup is now set for the SEC championship game, Georgia against LSU. And so, you know, you look forward to that coming up. And LSU is a – while you wanted Ole Miss, LSU is a remarkable story. Because I don't think people saw them doing that, especially losing that game to Florida State to kick off the season. But here they are. And so, you know, they get the win over Arkansas, and that wasn't a work of art either. 13-10, you know, over Arkansas. I mean, they had their struggles yesterday. You, like you said, some people at the top, some guys, you know, won games, but it wasn't without some struggles for some of them. You know, Tennessee with the 66 points. But Kentucky, who's going to play Georgia next week, they lose to Vanderbilt 24-21. And so, you know, you know what the problems Vanderbilt has winning games, but to beat Kentucky up at Lexington, you know, that speaks a little volumes of what happened then. And then out west, you know, will anybody step up from there? Will it be Oregon? Will it be Southern Cal? UCLA loses again yesterday, and Utah looks like they might be the team from out west if there's going to be a team that's going to be a part of it. We'll see.
I just, again, when you talk about the other teams, the one that just comes to mind. Well, first of all, let me just get back to this LSU thing. This has been a really successful season for them, not just because of these last two victories, you know, but Brian Kelly got over a couple humps. A, the perception of when he landed there and tried to, you know, he tried to ingratiate everybody with the worst accent in the world since Keanu Reeves was doing Devil's Advocate.
Yeah.
Trying to do that Florida Southern accent. But he got past Nick Saban for the first time. And he has landed in the SEC championship game. So say what you will about how the season started. He got, you know, he got them where they needed to be. Now, yes, he'd like to be able to be a part of the playoffs. But listen, his first year there, and I think that he made a whole lot of folks forget about Ed Orgeron.
Go Tigers.
I don't know if you can ever forget about hearing
that. Yeah, that's what I agree.
You're never
going
to forget about hearing that voice now.
Yeah.
You know, but let's say some of the things about the way he left. Maybe forget some of the things
that's
about
true.
The way he left. Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that he was a big presence. And so he got, you know, he got past them. But what do you think about what Notre Dame has done and how they've turned their season around? That was the one I was going to ask
they
you.
They turned
about.
It around, although Navy had a remarkable second half in that game.
They
had a lead in Navy. And you talk about Navy and the offense that they run and what they have to do in order to get. You know, once they get behind in a game, how difficult it is. You know, and they were playing that game in Baltimore, by the way. Isn't that right, Eric?
Mm-hmm.
They played in Baltimore, which was made it a deal. And Navy came out and gave them what they could there in the second half of the game. But Notre Dame holds on. The second half of the season has been much better, you know, for Notre Dame. It just got off to a wobbly start. That was the impressive performance against Ohio State, even in defeat. But then you go and turn around and you lose to Marshall. You say,
right.
Wait a minute, you know.
you just did a Scooby-Doo noise. That was nice.
That's what you say about them. But, you know, they look to finish strong. I mean, you look at what they got left on the schedule. They got Boston College, you know, coming up, which is, in, you know, within their de facto ACC, you know, membership, and then they got Southern Cal to finish things up. It looks like that Southern Cal game will mean something. Will mean something. By the way, I think next week is Southern Cal UCLA. That game will actually mean something for a first time in a long time. I think unless you know UCLA falls out of the rankings, maybe first time since the 80s that both of those teams they will play with both teams being nationally ranked. That doesn't even sound real because you consider what that game you know used to mean. People used to win Heisman trophies after their performance for that game in days past. But just a college football scope, and we'll see what Notre Dame does and where they end up. You know, still not out of everything as far as the playoff goes, but you're still looking to finish up with a strong season.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com on this 13th day of November. This tomorrow's my anniversary. Well, my first anniversary.
Okay.
Which got snatched away, and we've talked about that before. When I got married, we got another day, but that was the anniversary day, the first anniversary day. And so I just want to throw that out there so I don't catch no hell tomorrow. even though I don't have to. Oh, but listen, I wanted this to be the wedding day. I was rebuffed.
Okay.
Next thing you know.
That happens sometimes.
Yeah, it does. I happily moved it to a week after my birthday. But now it's the first line of the song September for Earth, Wind, and Fire, and it's been hijacked. But tomorrow is my original anniversary. Also want to remind you guys, December 17th, remember, Sam and I return to Saturdays. We will be, it's Sam and Greg with everything else because we are the opening act for a full day of football. In fact, a morning of football. Playing over in Germany is Tom Brady, Tampa Bay, and Jacksonville. They're going to tee it off. And so we have a number of things that we want to get to throughout this show. And one of them is coming up next. And we want to remind you that this is one of those times when you lose somebody and it's close to home. And I'm speaking for my partner more than I am for myself. We're going to take some time, because I know we're getting ready to end this segment, and spend some time talking about Fred Hickman and what I know about him, what you, Sam, know about him and your connection with him, which is a lot deeper than mine. So we're going to do that. Coming up top of the hour, we're also going to replay One Soldier's Journey to Normandy Beach as we continue to pay tribute to on this Veterans Weekend, if you will, week. Veterans Day was Friday, a sound that we played last week, but I have got a lot of people who missed it last week, and they've reached out, co-workers, too, that want me to play it again. So we're going to play that coming up top of the hour. On this 13th day, a day when, Sam, this phrase was created. Nothing is certain but death and taxes. Do you know who said that?
Who said that?
Benjamin Franklin.
Wow.
On this day in 1789. There you go. So, and he was right.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, he was. Anyway, we're just getting started. Well, not just getting started, but we're halfway through this first hour. It is Sam and Greg on a Sunday morning. Thank you for letting us be a part of your Sunday morning. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and take us with you on the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It's Sam and Greg on this 13th day of November. It's Sunday. We can't thank you enough for making us a part of your Sundays. Remember, December 17th, Sam and I return to Saturdays. You'll get us again on both days, starting at 8 a.m. on the 17th. Those days, actually, we may probably going back to 6 a.m. shortly thereafter, but we're coming back. That's the start of it. Also, Celebration Bowl happens on that day, so we got lots to talk about. Real quick, before we get into this, I want to thank the people who are participating in our little unofficial poll here. We started the show talking about unofficial Atlanta landmarks, so you can hit us up on at 92.9 The Game. A couple of them are landmarks, but sort of a question mark next to them because we're not sure if they're going to return, like the Krispy Kreme on Ponce. Mary Mac's Tea Room is there, of course. That's one.
That's going to be there.
I added
Eric
two.
Eric and I, sampled some of that at NASCAR. We'll get into that.
Okay. A Mary Max Tea Room, that's there. Varsity, obviously. Mm-hmm. We're worried about Terra Theater. That one's going to be leaving soon. And the Plaza Theater you mentioned. So we got Claremont Lounge. We got the Big Chicken. We got the Dwarf House. By the way, I remembered what that third word was. It three words in the English dictionary that start with DW. And I remember Dwarf, who said mm-hmm. that, Dwindle, and Dwell.
Okay.
Those are the three.
Yeah.
Your insignificant information of the day. So you guys, if we're thinking, we're missing a few, you know, not just a nice, something that's institutional, it's part of the fabric of Atlanta that should be considered by the Historic Society. So that's we just kind of tripped into that starting the show. So we're just trying to come up with names here. But seriously, want to turn our attention to an event this past week. We lost somebody. By the way, I would imagine I didn't pick this, and I'm not sitting right next to you, but that piece of music we heard bringing us back, Sam?
That was a Southern University band. And I kind of picked them because it's Louisiana. And when Fred joined us, because he's been a friend of the show, he's come on with us several times during his time working in Louisiana, in New Orleans, on Sundays for Falcons-Saints games. We would get him to come on the show and join us some. So that's kind of why I chose that particular song, Let It Rain, by Southern University Band.
I'm going to let you pick it up from here, sir.
Well,
I'll jump in. I'll jump in, though.
We both have, you know, incredible memories. And, of course, we had colleagues and former colleagues here at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. They got to work alongside him at CNN, John Fricke and Jerome Jarenovich. Both got a chance to really work and work with him on a daily basis.
Right.
For me, it was something different. For me, Fred Hickman was that guy. You know, when you figure out something you want to do and you're looking for somebody you can identify with, and for me in those days, we're talking the 70s, what for me it was Brian Gumbel,
right,
who before
right.
his stint on the Today Show worked with NBC Sports, you know, on weekends.
Right.
But you figure he's in New York or L.A.,
and he was in L.A.
And not somebody that you path going to cross. You know, you're not going to get to meet this guy. CNN opens its doors in 1980, and this guy is on doing sports with Nick Charles. And all of a sudden, it takes on a different thing for me because he's in Atlanta. And I said, some kind of way, my path is going to cross with this guy. And sure enough, I met Fred at a Hawks game, and we would meet. And I told him what I wanted to try to do, and he gave me all the encouragement. You know, all the time, and I've always never miss an opportunity in years past to thank him for that encouragement and telling me that I would get there. And it was just neat to share that with him and see him at games and events here in town and get to know things about him, you know, being from Springfield, Illinois, and being a college baseball player and how he still had an affinity for the Midwest because he left here for a time and went to work in Detroit.
Yep.
You know, and so then he you know came back to work at CNN once again, and later with Bally Sports. So yeah, I mean, Atlanta was a place he always seemed to come back to. You know, the life and the career always seemed to bring him back this way, but always upbeat and always, you know, with that smile. And for me, you know, always a word of encouragement. How you doing? You know, how things been going? And I never miss an opportunity to thank him. You know, for that, and being that image that I could see of someone that I could identify with that was doing that thing that I wanted to do, and he actually befriended me. So I'm was saddened by the news this week, but it also brings back a lot of pleasant memories.
Yeah, that that place up in Detroit you were talking about, 84, he was there, WDIV in Detroit. Dude had to play country music, too, at one of the stations he was at. He was
in a station. Telling me about that. Yeah.
Yeah. He had a station where, I mean, listen, everybody's got them stories, man. Where you were out of your element because of the bigger picture, the station you were at.
I had to play elevator music.
You did.
Yeah. You know, I had to play elevator music.
I had forgotten about that.
Okay. Yeah.
We
do what we must do.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
I was a big hit in the frozen food section. But, you know.
Listen, 96 Rock used to have to split the signal.
Mm-hmm.
During middays, before this was all, it's things you didn't think about. When I first got here, there was morning show and then there was afternoon show. Shout out Katie Kylie. But the midday signal, the FCC didn't, you know, you had to split and go AM and FM if you were an AM FM station, right? And you actually had to have another person to do just the AM side. And it was weird. And that's where I landed. Do on the AM side of this big juggernaut on the FM.
But you were talking before we came on about the thing that you and Fred share.
Well,
it's
one of those.
Your sound.
Yes, and that's where I was getting to that, because when I first started in this business, you didn't know what I looked like. And this is across the board. And I'm used to talking about this where it happened this week, man. It happened while I was on set doing what I was doing. Because, you know, you got a lot of extras who some of I helped get or pointed towards Central Casting who were booking these people, but had never seen me before. Right? And, you know, the old, I'm not going to do the joke I normally do, but basically, if Fred were not on TV, he and I would be Kindred Spirits, and that was the laugh that we had in that people thought we were white on the air, right? And then they saw us, and it was like, you know, that Scooby-Doo sound. But we are both proud Illini's. He spent, you know, come from Springfield downstate, but me up in the west side of Chicago. But we are also both products of our environment and our parents. And very, very proud of the upbringing that we had. And wouldn't change one bit of it, despite that being one of those things that we constantly heard about, some positively, some negatively, mm-hmm. Okay? Because people don't like being faked out. I mean, everybody listening right now, everybody we work with can remember when we were kids and we saw that person whose voice we grew up with on the radio and you finally saw them, whether they're male or female. And then when you saw them, you don't look like your voice. Yeah,
very, you know? Very seldom that they look like they sounded, right? Very seldom.
Yeah, you disappointed people, you know, because you didn't sound like, and I don't know how much radio Fred did, but initially we were all introduced to him on television.
Yeah.
But he did do some radio and mentioned that. He goes, yeah, the same thing applied to me. Yeah. But that was my connection with him, the Illinois connection with him. I didn't know the man that well, but I got, you know, introduced to him when I got to Georgia, because I didn't watch CNN up in Chicago. I actually watched it the years before that because I was on the cruise ship, but I did notice him. And then when I saw him there with Nick Charles, it just
that I show popped. Did that show pop?
Really? And the thing about
that
it was
show
it
popped.
was specifically different than what ESPN was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what made it unique. Now you talk about that first NBA. Pregame show, the NBA. How come I can't think of the name of it? The one that Ernie and those guys do now. Anyway, he was the first host of the NBA TNT. Correct? Have I lost
was
you?
Was it? I'm here.
I believe he was that first host. And I'm thinking of the retrospective that I watched this past week on him. Anyway, the studio, the way it was lit, and of course, then you talk about these guys working for Ted Turner and what Ted is going to do with sports. So it was, and they weren't that big juggernaut. It was the alternative, and I gravitated toward that. But again, I didn't know the man as well as you. But what I do know is there's a whole lot of people that we know now that he touched.
Oh, absolutely. Very much.
And we work with a couple
he's
of them.
He's one of those people that it would have been cool to see him as like a professor, you know, passing things on. And I'm sure he visited a lot of classes and colleges, probably so. But just he could have, to me, someone like him could have had a course all to themselves just to pass along, you know, the knowledge to the coming generation and the work that goes on to it and the things you have to do, the versatility. And things. I mean, so many of the kids, and they only know who they see. They see Stephen
right.
A. So I was going to be, tomorrow, you go to a college class right now, all these kids, they see the suits, they see the shoes, that's what they want, right? You know, so, mm-hmm. I mean, and you know, that's what they see. That's fine. But to get it from someone, you know, who paid and was a, you know, groundbreaker, trailblazer, to go and work for something that was totally new. You know, Stephen A. Swift went to ESPN. ESPN had already been in business for years.
Exactly.
This man rolled the dice and said, I'm going to be a part of this new thing that's going on. You know, because in the past, if you work for a network, you had to be New York, L.A., Chicago, maybe D.C. But this was Atlanta. It was, just a different thing. And for him to come in and be a part of that launching and you know, being a little bit outside of the box because – after all, Ted Turner was outside of the box.
Yes, he was. And so, go ahead.
You know, so that to me, that's the kind of thing to me would be cool to pass along to young people who want to come into this business.
So he did CNN Sports Tonight with Nick Charles.
Mm-hmm.
He was a part of the first NBA pregame show that TNT did. But the one that, as you were just talking, you reminded me of just the stable of events that he covered. From not only the Hawks He was commentator for the Hawks. Mm-hmm. He did the Olympics in Albertville.
Mm-hmm.
And he also was obviously one of the main voices for Ted Turner's Goodwill Games.
Right.
In St. Petersburg, Russia. So he was a part of all of that.
And then he actually went to work for ESPN for a time. And I never got comfortable seeing him there.
Nope.
You know what I mean? I was like, no. But, I mean, you know, Grady was there, and ESPN honored and respected him enough to bring him on to be there for a time. But it always felt a little awkward for me, knowing what he did here in Atlanta, to see him working with ESPN.
And he was always true to himself. The two controversies that he was a part of, if you may remember, Hickman, listen, he didn't vote. He was the first person to cast a first place vote for Allen Iverson for MVP in 2000. That was something, mm-hmm. believe it or not, because Iverson was making folks nervous. He had David Stern making him put arm wraps on to cover up tats, all of that stuff, right? He changed the dress code for post game.
Yep.
And that was all Allen Iverson. So he was not ingratiating himself to the NBA and the hierarchy there. And Fred was like, no, this is the best player in the game. And then he also he was one of the few people who refused to vote for Shaquille O'Neal when he was up for the MVP. And what was it? The sole vote. I was trying to find the place here. But anyway, these were things that he did and gave his reasons for not doing it. Iverson finished seventh, by the way, in that voting. But he just, you know, and I think that was the first, was that the first of three with Shaq and the Lakers and Kobe in 2000?
Probably around that time.
Yeah, Eric, if you get a chance, you can look that up there. But yeah, anyway, again, I dip in and out of being next to Fred Hickman throughout his life and just sort of, you know, we shook hands, and that comment I was talking about earlier as far as how we sounded and this and that, he just said, listen, just stay strong, man. They will come around. You can't not be yourself. Don't try to be somebody else. And those are words that obviously I tried to listen to and apply early on, even though I didn't do it. But the more I connect, it's when you hear from people who you can connect with, as you said.
Yeah, somebody you can identify with, you can look at and see. And that's the thing that was so important to me. The person that I'd seen before, and Brian Gumbel was a long way away.
Yeah.
But he is someone that was in town and doing a new thing. And, you know, it was an exciting time. It was an exciting time in Atlanta, a curious time in Atlanta, because cable wasn't then what it is now. Everybody didn't have it. You know,
right.
You got to remember that, too. And everybody didn't go to cable for their news information. They still got their news information from their local stations. So just to trust a new entity with news. Remember, there was no, you know, MSNBC or CNBC
none
or Fox News. None of that was happening. They were the very first one. So a pioneer, a trailblazer, groundbreaker, Fred Hickman.
Rest in peace, my man. All right, coming up, top of the hour. Here's how this is going to work, folks. We played this for you last week. We're going to play it again. As we continue to acknowledge Veterans Day and the veterans, we're going to replay one soldier's account of his journey to Normandy for the D-Day invasion. We are going to play that for you. That man is still alive, and he's down in Sarasota. Just enjoying life as best he can. So that's coming up. And then we're going to get into what's going on locally around here, what happened locally with Mr. Crenshaw. Also, Terrell Thomas is going to join us in this 7 o'clock hour. It's a Sunday morning. It's the 13th day of November. You guys are letting us be a part of your Sunday morning. We can't thank you enough. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. And take us with you on the Odyssey app.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.